Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, does a person have the ability to know about events that have yet to occur in the future? That's what we talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show, you want to keep us on the air, and you'd like access to, how about the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, probably then check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories, or our website, ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up there to become an EPP, an extra podcast person, as we call them. And what you do is you get access to quite literally that, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, new EPP bonus episodes exclusively for you guys, added every single week, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial-free, our ebook, audiobook, all of it's there, $5 a month to get access to all of it and keep us on the air. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's the weekend edition of the show, and Tony and Harper with you on this fine day.
Hi.
Hi, it's your turn to talk.
Okay. Well, the other day, Remember you and me got to talk to a ghost.
We kind of did. It was an interesting experience.
That was very interesting.
We were out, we're recording this close to the Easter holiday time, and it's a little bit after, but we were walking around a cemetery, and, because who doesn't do that on Easter?
Everyone does it.
We were the only ones there. Anyway, we were out for a nice nature hike and ended up in a cemetery. And I busted out one of the ghost radar apps because I was just curious. I've really never used it in any sort of setting that it may be allowed to work in. But I thought, what the hell? I'm just going to try it. So I was walking around and I asked, is there anybody here? I didn't get any response. And then I said, it's a question I got for you. You don't have to tell me who you are, but I'm just wondering if you are here, why you're hanging out in a cemetery? Because this is probably not a place that you spent a lot of time in life, but I see it's a real pretty area. It was a nice setting. It was up on a hill and kind of a bluff and you could see hills, and it was a really beautiful setting. And I asked, why do you like to be here in this place? And the answer I got, sunlight.
It was sunshine.
Or sunshine, yeah. And I was like, well, that's a little creepy.
Yeah, and then I got some more responses when you and me were walking around the graveyard. I remember one of them said pressure.
Mm-hmm. Another one said leg.
Leg.
Leg and pressure.
What was the other one?
Those are the two.
No, we got another one.
Okay.
The third one, I think it said right. As we were walking out, I'm pretty sure it said right.
And that one didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, because on our way out, we asked, hey, do you guys have a favorite flower? Because if you guys do, we could stop by and bring you some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we didn't really. I don't, is there a flower called a rate? I don't think there is.
I'm gonna Google it.
I'm gonna look at it right now too. I don't see anything that says that. But the interesting thing about the leg and pressure at the time, we were almost thinking, is it because we're standing on graves right now as we're walking around? But here's something that I didn't think of, because leg and pressure came back to back when we were talking out there. That very cemetery was the site of a battle in the Civil War. So people were literally fighting in the cemetery. People had already been buried there. And if you're in a battle and someone's injured, let's say in your leg, get shot, you want to apply pressure to the leg to help with the bleeding and all of that. So that was an interesting thing I kind of thought about after the fact. It seemed fairly random, but It was interesting nonetheless. Anyway, it gave this kid the bug over here to want a ghost hunt now, even more than she already has. So I see.
I mean, like, we've been looking at equipment on Amazon. What can I say? I love my ghost hunting, okay?
I think it may turn into something here in the...
It might.
Yeah.
Look out for a YouTube channel, people.
Good father-daughter activity, creating a YouTube channel investigating ghosts. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
So we'll see. We'll think about that in the coming weeks and months and years. So anyway, let's get back on to our show today and our ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Starts out, does a person have the... Oh, this is, I'm sorry, the intro to the show. Let me go down to the actual story. Okay. Because I have a few experiences in my life that have led me to know with certainty that spirits and energies exist around us. I've recently started listening to your podcast and have not yet heard a story quite the same as mine. So I thought I'd share my experiences and see what your thoughts might be. While I do get feelings and sometimes uneasiness when I enter some buildings, I can sense spirits or negative energy in places. I've not had any physical manifestations occur around me as far as I know. My abilities seem to be more of a precognitive or perceptive feeling rather than seeing or hearing spirits. My husband, who is a true skeptic, has had me tell him many times over the years when I have had a feeling of doom or sense that something is about to happen. So much so that he accepts that I somehow know these things, but still stops short of believing in ESP or spirits. I have no control over these episodes. They come to me and are vague without details. I sometimes can get a feeling of who it involves, and at times I know roughly what it is about to occur, but never when. I like to be able to control or see more about the vision when it occurs, but it always slips away when I try. Like trying to grab hold of something slippery that moves away just out of your sight when you think you have it. Very annoying. For example, here is one of the most recent precog events that occurred to me. I knew days ahead that I was going to be in a car accident. I sensed it would not be a severe one and had no idea when or where. I, of course, was extra careful about the next couple of days when I drove, but I knew an accident was coming. When it happened, there was nothing I could do to prevent it. The drive was extremely icy and sloped downwards. The car in front of me had stopped to make a turn. I was going about 10 kilometers an hour, and I could not break the slide right into the car ahead of me. Damage to both vehicles, but no injuries, luckily. I've had many times where I think about a friend or family member and they stop by moments later, or the phone rings and they're calling me. It's interesting when these things happen, and they happen all the time. But it's also frustrating because I have no control over when these flashes of the future occur to me. But these do make for some fun moments with my family when I announce that Aunt Bess is coming by soon, and then she does. Most of my more profound experiences involve loved ones that have recently departed. This is where it gets interesting, and I welcome the experience when it happens. I had a friend that passed away after a short cancer diagnosis. We've been friends for several years and had kids the same age that played together growing up. During the last couple of months of her life, I spent time with her almost every single day. She had supported me a few years early when I battled my own cancer, obviously with a far different outcome than hers, and I wanted her to know she was loved and how much her friendship meant to me. We spent time together, played cards, watched TV while we waited for the inevitable to happen. After she passed, about 3 to 4 weeks later, I was asleep. I woke slightly to turn over on my right side and lay back into my pillow. So I was awake, but not fully yet. The next, I felt a slight pressure on my spine and a slight electrical feeling from the top of my head to the base of my spine. I've had this experience a couple of times before in my life, so I knew it was a spirit coming by to visit me. I woke more, but kept my eyes closed and waited for the contact to develop more fully. The pressure and vague electrical pulse feelings came more intense. I wish I could describe it better, but it's not painful or pleasurable. It's slightly uncomfortable. The base of my neck and head gets tingly, pins and needles feeling. My spine all the way to my tailbone feels pressure and tingling as well. The feeling grows in intensity almost to the point of pain, and I experience an overwhelming sense of love and gratitude. I know that it was my friend who had just passed coming to say goodbye. I thanked her for coming to see me before she left, and then the pressure and electricity immediately stopped as she pulled away. Over in an instant, but the impression of a memory of her visit will stay with me forever. I had had the same experiences when my father-in-law and mother-in-law had passed separately in earlier years as well. In the instance of my mother-in-law, she had come to me first in a lovely dream, and then the electric hug came on as I started to awaken from the dream. It was a lovely way to say goodbye and have closure. As I said, I welcome these visits and look forward to my loved ones just popping by on their way to the other side. They've never come back, and it has only ever been someone awfully close to me, which makes me not fear these occurrences when they come. I'm not sure how I would feel if I were, or if it were a stranger. I don't want to find out. I'm not sure when they will come after passing. It's varied from 5 days to about a month for each one. These have all happened since my own bout with cancer about 10 years ago. Before then, I did not experience these electrical hugs from my loved ones. So maybe there was a switch thrown at the time to allow me to become more receptive to these encounters. I have a couple of other experiences that have happened to me that I'll share in another story later. I appreciate your podcast. Keep up the good work.
We've never really had a story where there's electrical hugs.
Electrical hugs. I guess it more so means this kind of the feeling that you have, you know, almost like static electricity, you know, that feeling?
Yeah.
I think it was something very distinct to them that made them feel that way. And that's just kind of how they, you know, how they expressed the encounter. But it's, I guess it's a good encounter to have and to have that feeling and experience with a loved one when you don't expect it to be happening.
Yeah. But it's just kind of frightening because when I think of like electrical hugs, I almost kind of feel like it. I think of like being kind of shocked, like mm-hmm. that electric shock.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel if I was in that moment, just kind of being shocked.
Well, I don't think it's like shocking, hurting. I think it's just more like kind of that tingly thing is what it is. Breaking news as we're reading that story, by the way, it's, you're hearing this the day after it airs, but you probably already heard this by now, but rapper DMX has died at the age of 50. So that gives us probably less than 24 hours before people start trying to communicate with him through spirit boxes on YouTube channels.
I'll be looking forward to that.
There's certain people out there that have certain things and they tend to, I almost want to say exploit the death of people. So mark my words, within 24 hours, there'll be some YouTube videos, people going, DMX, is that you? I can only imagine. It's like,
DMX.
Up in here. That'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, but it's sad. A man that, you know, he was pretty popular in my generation for rap music and certainly had a lot of struggles throughout his life and a lot of demons that he wasn't able to overcome. But there you go. Sad news there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and co-host for the day. It's been a while since I've called in. This is Tom in Virginia. And I've probably called in half a dozen times, and I don't think I've ever talked about the hotel that I've worked in for probably 15 years now. It's not a hotel that's known for being haunted from a customer standpoint, but from the workers, I've heard lots of stories and witnessed quite a bit. But I've kind of got the reputation as doing this type of thing, and some of the employees have come to me over a period of time and told me some stories. Some of the things I've seen, some of them I have not. However, I do have quite a few EVPs and visuals that I've done on my own there. But anyway, I'm going to tell you three stories from the hotel that have happened over the years. Two of them have to do with guest rooms. And on one of them, I'm going to include a clip, audio clip that I have. And the third one, which I'll start with, is from the spa, which has more than a few stories associated with it. The story I'm going to tell you is about, I work security. I was a supervisor in the security department. And I knew a lot of guys from the engineering department, and they used to go in there quite often, the spa after hours, and do repairs and preventive maintenance, that kind of thing. One of them told me a story that he was in there after hours working, replacing lights in the ceiling. He had a ladder, and he was standing on the ladder and had his back to this long hallway. And as he was putting the bulb in, he heard some footsteps coming up from behind him. And he thought it was a customer that had just gotten in. You know, maybe he left the door unlocked by mistake, he thought, and maybe a customer had wandered in, and he was turning around to tell he or she to leave, and there was no one there. And he said he knows there were footsteps. And the funny thing is, a couple of months later, one of the other engineers who I was buddies with tells me the exact same story that had happened to him. And he swore he didn't have, he had never heard it from the other guy. And it was the same exact story, putting the bulbs in and somebody walked up behind him, turned around, nobody's there. The weirdest part about this story is that both of those gentlemen passed away within a year of each other, one on vacation in his, Peru, I believe it was, drowned in a pool at a hotel. And the other gentleman was much more bizarre. He got in a fight with his wife, and she was expecting. And as he was leaving in the car, she ran out in front of the car, and he hit her with the car and killed her. And took his own life after that. And he was a good friend of mine. It was devastating when it happened. But that was associated with the spa, both of those stories. And I had posted that on a Facebook page I have that has to do with my ghost hunting and that type of thing, paranormal stuff. And a woman who used to work there posted on the page and said that she hated going to work there because it was such a creepy place. And she said she would be working and feel somebody come up behind her, and it would be like a hand on her shoulder. And another time she said she looked down this hallway. The hallways were kind of, were never really lit up, even with all the lights on. It was kind of dark in the hallways. But she said she saw what looked like half-human, half-spider shadow walking up the hallway one time. So the spa has a lot of stories associated with it. One of the rooms, one of the guest rooms, one night I got a call from the front desk that said, can I check room 708? That somebody keeps calling the front desk from that room and hanging up. So I go up to the room. There's nobody in there. Come back down, tell them the room is vacant. And she says, okay, just had to report it. And she says it's happened before. And they go up and check the room. Nobody's in there. They've even called the phone company to come out and look. And they can't figure out how the calls are coming from the room down to the front desk. The phone company even couldn't explain it. So I came down from the room to talk to the front desk agent and went over and talked to a guest services agent about it. And he said, oh, yeah, those calls have been coming from 708 for a while. And he said, and after that, I had said, well, let's go up and check that room out again. And I said, I've got a few things to do, and then we'll go up there. And he said, okay. So after I came back, after about 15 minutes, he said another call came in through to the conference concierge desk, which was a desk opposite his desk. And he said 708 again. So we go up there, and I bring my recorder, and we go in the room. He stays about 30 seconds and says he can't stand it. He just feels like a presence in there, like an overwhelming presence, and he leaves. So I was in there about 10 more minutes, but I started asking, you know, is there anyone in here, this type of thing. And didn't get anything that I knew at the time, but I pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket and sat it on a desk and mirror, which are at the end of the bed. And, you know, was asking it to move the dollar bill if it could. You know, if there's anyone in here, could you move the dollar bill? So about that time, I get a call on the radio. And just as I go to turn to answer the radio, out of the corner of my eye, I see that dollar bill literally jump off the stand and do like a flip in midair and hit the ground. I ask you not, but I've gone up there a couple of times since then, and I've never gotten an EVP, but I heard the story that later that a gentleman had been brought into that room who was golfing, and he was having chest pains, and he just said, I got a rest, you know. And from what I understand, he was kind of a local politician. And he came back to the room to rest, and he passed away that evening of a heart attack. So that's one other thing. The last story has to do with room 331. I was in there changing the batteries. I got a report that the front door was not working, needed batteries. So I brought up some batteries and went in there. And while I was changing the batteries out, the light flickered on the ceiling. And the hairs on my arm kind of stood up. I really felt the presence there. So I went back down to the office, got my phone, came back maybe 20 minutes later, and started recording. And what I recorded was just about a minute and a half, but I'm going to play just a clip from it. And I'm going to play it a couple of times. The first time I listened, I didn't hear it, but the more I listened to it, it became really clear. And I asked it a question. I said, do you like staying in this room? And the response was, I like the room. Says I, and there's a pause, and he says, like the room. So I'm going to play it for you now. I've got it kind of cranked up. I don't know if you could hear it, but I'll play it, you know, two or three times and see if you can pick it up. Okay, so here it goes.
Do you like to stay in this room? I'm going to stop now with the audio and take. Do you like to stay in this room? Do you like to stay in this room?
And that wraps up the call.
That was as clear as day.
I'd love to hear it, not just over the phone, but the actual file itself, because the phone kind of, you know, muffles it a bit.
Three questions. What hotel is that? Second of all, what's your Facebook page? Third of all, what equipment are you using?
Well, you know what? For an EVP harp, all you need is a recorder, which you can do on your own phone. There's the voice recording app.
Yep.
That's all you need. Then that's how you get an EVP. So you can just walk around a cemetery, ask questions, give it some space, and then ask another question. And then afterwards, you go back and you listen to it, and you see what you found. And that's how you find an EVP. And the investigators that I talk to all the time over on the Grave Talks, the most common piece of equipment, the most common thing that people like more than any of the complex pieces of equipment that are out there that do this and that with the bells and whistles?
Spirit box.
No, simple tape recorder. Or recording an app like that, just a simple voice recording. Catching an EVP, you don't necessarily need anything super complex. I mean, those bells and whistle things are interesting. But I think some of the most compelling evidence that comes out is things just like that. And all it takes is a tape recorder. or a recording device. So there you go. And we actually have a professional recording device beyond the our phones and stuff too. I actually have what a lot of the investigators
use. You have
a
spirit box?
No, I don't have a spirit box. I have a thing to get EVPs. It's a professional recorder. It's a mobile microphone that I've used to make commercials and stuff, but it's super high quality. It's what you see on television quite a bit. It's like the H4, I believe. So we can use that and add that to our arsenal of stuff. So that may be one of the first things we take out when we're out looking and finding things.
If any of you guys are ghost hunters, let me know on what equipment we should get.
Well, if you want to leave it in the comments on our Facebook page under this episode, that would be great.
That'd be amazing.
So hey, I've been talking with a lot of people lately who are in the field and getting advice and all that. So we'll slowly put our little thing together.
Our little plan.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Tylen Murphy. I am from Lexington, Kentucky. In 2014, I went to Eastern Kentucky University. I lived in a dorm there called McGregor Hall. And there's a few places at Eastern Kentucky University that were known to be pretty haunted. The more famous one is the Blue Girl in King Johnson Hall. And McGregor Hall, specifically the first floor, I heard was haunted. Like, when I first went to EKU, I met somebody. He was telling me a story he had in McGregor Hall, where on the first floor there's this laundry room, and him and his girlfriend were inside of the laundry room, and suddenly the lights went out. When the lights went out, his girlfriend heard footsteps going down the stairs and walking towards her, and they got scared. They ran away. My personal experience, and I can't think of how this happened at all, but my personal experience, I was again on the first floor in the bathroom. There's a toilet section in the bathroom, and then there's a shower section in the bathroom. And the way that the shower section is designed is it's kind of like a bathroom stall. Inside the door, there's a curtain, and inside that curtain, there's the shower. So the stall door was closed, the curtain was closed. I didn't hear anybody go through the stall door at all, but I looked down as I'm taking a shower, and on the curtain, I see the shadow of three fingers slowly pushing the curtain in towards me. I was lost. I was staring at the shadow and the curtain coming towards me, and I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of watched it for about 5 seconds until I finally panicked and pushed the curtain out. Nothing was there. I opened the curtain and nothing was outside. The next about 4 or 5 weeks, I took a shower with the curtain wide open. Like, I just had the stall door closed. I was very scared. But till this day, I can't explain what happened that night, but love the show. Been listening for months. I hope you, Harper, a wonderful day. Stay safe from this corona.
My all-time question is, why the bathroom? Why would the ghost want to disturb you in the shower?
Some people think that bathrooms are a place because of the water and things of that nature, that it opens it up to more activity, if you will, with those sort of elements being present.
Along with mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just kind of think, okay, remember how last night you and me were watching that, The Haunting Show?
Sure.
And there are these mirrors that were like portals.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I think of whenever I hear a ghost story that has to do with mirrors.
Okay.
I don't know why I think that. It's just...
That mirrors are portals?
For ghosts sometimes.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, I think it can be. And in some cases, I think it can just be a mirror. But it all depends. I think it's more so the intent and how it's being used and all of that.
Yeah.
But there you go. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up to be one over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, all the material there for you, and help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.